Okay, good morning. Share sponsor, the Ilya Nishma Shalom Ben Yaakov Aryeh. Okay, we are in Siman Tav Chet of Tchumin. Tav Chet. We started Aleph. It's a long one. We're going to recap today, starting from the beginning of the Ramah. Really quick recap. Again, we sent out some pictures in the WhatsApp from the back of Oz V'Hadar. If a person makes their Eruv Tchumin by setting up bread outside of their home, their city, 2,000 amos away, your new radius, your new Makom Shvita residence is where your bread is. Right? That's what you had Kavana to be, in the same spot as the bread, and that's what it is. And you only get a radius from there, your tchum is 2,000 amos. And if your 2,000 amos ends up in the middle of a city, the city that you slept in, or any other city within that radius, according to the Shulchan Aruch, your tchum ends at exactly at that radius. Now you do get the corners, it's a square. But You get the tchum of your bread, even if it ends in the middle of the city, even if it ends in the middle of your home. You can't go one amma beyond. You can't take another step beyond. Okay. That's what we learned yesterday. The Ramah holds true. However, if, here, let's read it inside. However, if you take the tchum from your bread, your eruv, you take the tchum, and it ends in the middle of a city. So once you hit the city, you start to enter a little bit into the city, then mehalech b'chol ha'ir kula. Even though really you do get this square tchum, but since it encroaches, it reaches the city that you slept in, we're learning, Mishnah Berurah points qualifies, it's only referring to the city that you slept in or were in at Beinish Mashos. So then, mehalech b'chol ha'ir kula. You get your square, plus you can walk anywhere within the city. You can't go, avalol chutzala, you don't get an any ama extra, north, south, east, or west, beyond the city, but you do get the entire city. V'yesh lahakel. And that's the Ramah's position. Okay. And that's Minhag Ashkenaz for sure. Okay. So let's keep going. V'im kalta midato b'sof ha'ir. And what happens if your Eruv, you get a tchum of 2,000 amos, and it includes the entire city. So v'af agav da'adayin ibur lifnei ha'ir. So again, the Shulchan Aruch, if you go back, I think it's Shin Sadichet Hey. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't hold of this Ibur Ha'ir business. The Shulchan Aruch says, a city gets, you go to the edge of the homes, the last house, or if there's a wall around the houses, around the city, you count 2,000 amos and beyond. According to the Ramah, he holds every city. You don't start counting your tchum of 2,000 until you get an ibur. You get an extra 70 amos, 70 and 2/3, all around the city. So really, you get 2,070 and 2/3 beyond the city limits. That's the opinion of the Ramah. So the Ramah points out, I hold of the ibur is always lahakel. It's always to make it better for you. And we're going to see it goes, so in other words, he uses it to make your tchum bigger in Shin Sadichet. And here, he'll use it in either direction, whichever way it helps you. So if your city ends, what's it called? If your tchum, right.
2,000 amos, but not the Hebrew Shalir, the whole city is still considered 4 amos.
Yeah, so it might help to look at a picture, but let's say you have on one side you have your Eruv, and on the other side you have your city. and you get 2,000 amos, and if it includes the city, so then what happened? So then that entire city counts only as dalet amos. And then you can keep going, whatever the examples was before, let's say 1,000, and you get another 996, because the city only counts as 4. Now, what happens if it includes, so if it doesn't go beyond the Ibor, right? It doesn't go beyond the extra 70 amos. That city still counts as 4 amos. We don't say, it's stuck in the middle, and now you have to count the whole city. At the same token, if it goes beyond the Ibor, then the whole city, including the Ibor, also counts as only dalet amos. So whatever, how you can use the Ibor lahakel in both directions. Okay, hope that was clear.
The Ramos is the Katani, that's on the Sota here. That's on right. The far side of the city, right?
Right, so that the whole city is included in your Tchum, so then that city is only counted as dalet amos. Yeah, if you don't mind, I'll read it with you again inside. It depends. Like I explained, the Fanan, I'll explain again with you again afterwards.
Okay.
But I explained that the Ibor could be on either side, and whatever works out better for you, you can count the Ibor as dalet, included in the dalet amos, or if it doesn't, if the tchum stops before, then it doesn't ruin your city. Your city still is dalet amos only. Kol makom shehiniach eruv tchumin v'yesh lo alpayim ama l'kol ruach. Now, so normally what happens, when you place your eruv out in the field, right? The typical case that we normally think of is out in a field, but we're going to see it doesn't have to be like that, is it's out in the field. So what's your makom? Dalet amos. Only dalet amos. So then, asur lo leilich utzafen udarom rak neged rocha v'makom shekana bo shvita. So basically what it just means is, again, you can look in the picture, you have a square of dalet by dalet amos, and you draw 2,000 amos in each direction, beyond the 2,000, and then, he's going to say that later on, and then you make a perfect square around it. V'im eno rak arba amos, let's keep reading. It depends if you put it inside a city. We're going to learn later on. If it's outside in a field, you get dalet amos and that's it. And if it's out in a field, if you put your tchumin inside a different city or a different bungalow colony that you can reach, so now you get the whole bungalow colony or the whole new city, and then you make your whole new, you measure 2,000 in all 4 directions, and then you get your new square. So he reads, "Vim eino rak arba amos, hegon she'ena erev b'rishus sayachid." If it was out in the field and there's no rishus sayachid, so then asur lelech kol ruach alpayim ama, lelech lekol ruach alpayim, rak b'rochav arba amos im zaviyotan. Just means you get exactly a square of, it'll be a square of 4,004 by 4,004. Because you get your dalet in the middle, and 2,000 in each direction, and then you get your square. And that you can see in one of the pictures. Mikol makom. Okay. Yeah. So also, just as an example, it might be one of the pictures. If your city is 1,000 by 1,000, or your new city, your new bungalow colony is 1,000 by 1,000, and you put your eruv there, so then it'll be 5,000 by 5,000 will be your new area, because you get 2,000 in each direction beyond. Okay. Umikol makom, im kalta midato, sof ha'ir, vekula ke'arba amosav, mutar leilech kol rachba, v'yesho apayim chutz la'ir, atzafon v'ladarum. Okay. Okay, sorry I didn't bring a picture. So he sent out a picture. It will be easier to see it with a picture.
Does he only mention Safed and Dalet? Because the
examples
are always you put it to the Mizrach.
Right.
In all the examples, you put it in the Mizrach.
Okay, yeah. Someone just pointed out, because you're always placing the east and west is the Eruv. So now we're going to get into what about the other dimension, north and south. Okay, so how does it work? So we learned according to this, what we're reading right now is only according to the Ramah. Because according to the Shulchan Aruch, it's very simple. You look at your food, you get your 4,004 by 4,004, and that's it, and it doesn't matter how it ends up into a city. According to the Ramah, he holds, he points out, once your new tchum enters a city, if that's the city that you were at for Bein Hashmashos, where you slept, then you get to use the entire city. So what he points out is you get the whole city, and okay, so it depends. If your tchum ends in the middle of the city, so then you could only stay within the tchum of your food. That's 4,004 by 4,004. Plus, you can walk around the city. Okay, it's in one of the pictures. But what happens if your tchum goes beyond the city next to you? In other words, we're talking about not common cases. We're talking about very small, narrow cities. It's okay. We're talking about very small, narrow cities. So if you are, you go to the edge of your city, 1,000 amos away, you place your food, and then your city, right? It's a giant city it's more narrow than 1,000 amos. So it's not so practical. But then your tchum goes beyond the city. So what happens? That whole city is counted as dalet amos. Okay. So that the Shulchan Aruch agrees. But what happens north and south? So the Ramah says, since it's included, you're allowed to go beyond that portion of the city. It doesn't expand your entire tchum, but where your city is, now you're allowed to go an extra 2,000 amos beyond the city, above and below. And that's the basic opinion of the Ramah, and that's what the Mishnah Berurah says you can rely on, Bishat Hadchak. There is a big discussion, I don't want to get into too many details, but there's a big discussion in the Achronim. First of all, do we follow the Ramah that you can add 2,000 amos north and south beyond the city limits? And some say the only time you can apply that rule of the Ramah, that you can go 2,000 amos beyond north and south, is not only if the city is within the tchum east and west, but it also needs to be within the city north and south. Then you can go to the edge of the city, north and south, and give yourself an extra little brick, an extra little 2,000 amos, north and south. But if the city itself is, even though east and west, it includes the city, but since the city goes beyond north and south, if it goes beyond the 4,004 amos, then you can't keep on going another 2,000 amos wherever it ends. That's a machloket, if you can do that. Again, the Ramah is Mekel, according to the way most understand the Ramah, at least. Okay. Let's go on to Bet. Okay. I hope that wasn't too confusing. But if you look at the picture, hopefully it won't be. Bet. Hameniach eruvo bershus hayachid. Person places his eruv in a rishus hayachid, which this we mentioned already. Right, you're in one city, and now you want to put it inside another adjacent city that's within, you're able to use a tchum to get there, but you put your eruv inside a reshus hayachid. So obviously that's within 2,000 amos of your city. Afilo hayta medina gedola keninve. Even if the city is huge, it's as big as Yerushalayim, New York, whatever you want to call it, a big city like Ninve, even if it's not, it's destroyed, it's not really lived in anymore, as long as it's able to still live inside. So then, since there's walls, mehalech et kula v'chutz al apayim ama l'kol ruach. So then you get the entire periphery of the walls plus 2,000 amos beyond. Okay, right, but it still has to be mukaf mechitza. Okay, gimel. Hamaniach eruvei betoch ha'ir sheshavat ba. Lo asa klum. You live in a city. You're in the middle of Ramat Beit Shemesh, wherever you are, and you place an eruv inside the city. You didn't do anything. Ela hareyu kivnei ha'ir kulam sheish la'apayim ama l'kol ruach chutz la'ir. You didn't accomplish anything because you placed your eruv inside your city. You're already allowed to carry 2,000 amos outside your city. So anytime you make an eruv inside a city, it doesn't do anything. And it's as if you didn't even do it. And we say you still have this, you can count kol adeos, 2,000 amos from the edge of your city, not from where you put your bread. Al hareyu kibin ya'ir, kulam sheish lam apayim amal, koruah chutz la'ir. V'chein yim natan eruvo b'mkomot ha-mistarfim la'ir, shemodudim matchum chutz mehem. Even if you have, we mentioned cases earlier where you can have a series of houses. You have a, let's say, a square city, a round city, and then off of one edge, you have a whole lineup of houses that are all within 70 or 140 amos of each other, 141. So then you can, they're all connected, and if you place your eruv, or Mishnah Berurah points out also according to the Rama, if you place it in your ibur, your extra 70 amos, if you place your eruv anywhere within these chain of houses or within this ibur, it's the same as placing it inside your city. You gained no benefit. Theoretically, you only would be hurting yourself. So we say your eruv is nothing. And hareze kanotne betoch ha'ir. It's as if you put it inside your city, you accomplish nothing, and you don't have an eruv. Your food's not an eruv, and you just go by your regular tchum, which is to your benefit. Dalit. Matan eruvei chutz atchum. If a person placed his eruv outside his tchum, you go to the edge of your city. You count 2,000 amos, and he miscalculated. He was misinformed. He placed his eruv outside of the tchum. So then your eruv doesn't work. Your eruv only works if it's within 2,000 amos of your city. It has to be out of your city and no more than 2,000 amos from the city. And again, according to the Rama, that would be 2,070. So then, natan eruv chutz atchum, eino klum, you accomplish nothing, you didn't do anything, it doesn't hurt. V'yesh lo tchum mi beiso, and you still have your tchum from your house. Because we say, we assume the person would rather have in his home as his makom shvita and have his eruv, have a tchum of the city versus have nothing. So that's the halacha.
I can understand that if he didn't sleep there that night, but if he slept there, why wouldn't that be his makom shvita?
Wait, and Nasan Eruvo. The case of Nasan Eruvo is you slept in the city and you put the bread Erev Shabbos beyond the 2,000 amos out of your city.
If you slept near your Erev, why shouldn't it work?
Well, of course that works.
Yeah.
It works because you are your Erev.
Yes.
Right. You don't need your food. The case that we're talking about is when you're in, by definition, the case we're talking about is when you're in the city and your food is way outside your city beyond 2,000 amos. We're going to learn, I don't know if we learned it yet, but a person makes an Eruv either by being there, it's actually a machloka in the Gemara, which is really, Chazal, the ideal way to do it, by being there physically, it's called rego, or is it by food, which is the ikr. Both work, it's a machloka, which is the ikr, but both work. Okay. So obviously if you were there, then obviously that works, because you were there. Okay, tav tet din makom netina to eruv. Halachas about placing an eruv. Aleph, hanotan eruv beis hakvaros. A person places his eruv in a beis hakvaros. Right, so a person has a cemetery. Here we're familiar. Okay, whatever, a cemetery. Does your eruv work? So eino eruv. So the halacha first reads in the Shulchan Aruch, you don't have an eruv. Didn't work. Why? Let's finish reading and we're going to see we have to totally re-understand the Shulchan Aruch. Lefisha beit ha-kvaros asur behana. A beis ha-kvaros is asur behana. So the whole beis ha-kvaros asur behana. So what are we talking about? The Mishnah Berurah explains. We're talking about a room that's designated, that's built by with sticks, with wood, or plaster, whatever it is, concrete. And that's your room, and that's where the bodies are buried. So now, I'll say that again.
A mausoleum.
So the whole room is a man-made building, and it's built for kavarim. So the whole room has a din of Isra Hana, and therefore, you can't get benefit from this room, and that's what you're doing with this Eruv, because you want to make Shvita there to be there during Shabbos to eat. So that's why it doesn't work. If it would be in our, but if you put it on the, right. If you put it on, that's, if you would put it on the ground, the Mishnah Berurah points out, it would not be a problem, because karka is not aser. A building could become aser be'ana, but we can't aser the land.
Even though it's
mechubar to karka. So the land is not a problem. So our cemeteries that we're used to, for the most part, they're outdoors, and therefore it's not a problem. And he says even caves you dig out, that would also not be a problem. Because it's dug out, it's a cave, it's the stone from the ground, that is, it's not built, so that has also a din of karka olam, and it doesn't become asar behana. So if a person actually does place his eru in a cemetery, for some reason, you can use the beis hakvaros. However, can you use it if it's within Dalet Amos? So I believe even if it's within Dalet Amos of the Kever, it's okay. Dalet Amos of the Kever, it would be okay. It seems that the Mishnah Berurah says that as well. And we're going to see by a Kohen, that would be a problem.
In the Kever,
says you can, right. And you can always walk, yeah, that's right. And you can always walk away Dalet Amos to eat, and it's not a problem. For a Kohen, it would be a problem if it's within Dalet Amos, because he can't walk within Dalet Amos of a kever unless there's a wall separating them. Now let's keep reading. We'll get to a Kohen. The Kevan Shirotza Bekiyom Eruv Sham Achar Kniya Hari Nehenebo. And since you want it there beyond, the purpose is to be there, you want it to be there after Bein HaShemashos, that's a problem. Okay. Even though, okay, let's read on. V'im netanel beveit hapras. Now, can you place it in a beit hapras? A beit hapras is a field that has been plowed over. A kever that's been, a cemetery that's been plowed over.
It's a field that's been plowed over that you found bones or something,
okay.
Remnants of the deceased. So it's not necessarily guaranteed to be a cemetery. It could be a place where they're planting corn. But in the process of planting, they found
Okay, you're adding quite a bit. The point, if it's a basic varos that was plowed over, and we're assuming that's all it is, and then we're how you find out about it is incidental, but now we're assuming when you're there that there's no bones that are bigger than a barley. Etzem kisera. And then, even if you touch it, as if it's the size of a barley, then you're matame by moving it. So it's a field that we're assuming doesn't have any bones left over that are still there that are the size of a barley. Okay, exactly how you determine that is beyond today, but that's the assumption. Or at least, since it's so unlikely, so only midarabanan.
Right.
So there, because we're choshesh, it's aser darabanan for a kohen to go in there, but it's not aser daraisa because we're it's a chazaka, whatever, it's most likely wherever he walks, at least wherever he walks, there won't be a bone big enough that he'll walk over or touch. Okay. Mistama, there's going to be at least one bone somewhere there, maybe. That's what I'm assuming, but it's not likely that he's going to be touching it or walk over, so therefore it's only Nisidarabanan. So therefore, he is not allowed to go in there. But you still can make an Eruv there. First of all, we could all go there, but what about, but he needs to be able to go there, if he's making it for himself. Because there's two ways that he can go there. He can walk there, and as he's walking, he can slowly, every step he takes, he can blow. And since we're assuming every bone is small, that you're not going to be, that just by mahil is not a problem, and we're just talking about moving a bone, and he can walk and blow as he goes along. So therefore, it's not a problem for him as long as he does that. He is allowed to go there if he does that. And the other exception is because you can have him being carried in a carriage of some sort, and you carry him with strings or a small little drone, a helicopter, and you can move him along, and but that doesn't help you for going over, Mishnah Berurah points out, an actual Beit HaKvarot, because since it's moving, it's not called a proper ohel, it's not chotzeitz, and he cannot cover. However, a kohen is allowed to go into a Beis HaKvaros if he is very careful, and to stay within the walking, driving paths, and he just makes sure there's no overhangs, trees, whatever, and he stays with beyond, I think it's 4 tefachim from the walls, or dalet amos from the actual kavarim. So technically, lamaisa, can you put an eruv in a Beis HaKvaros, in our normal Beis HaKvaros? Generally speaking, yeah, just keep it in the pathways, especially if you're a kohen. I think we'll stop. Okay. All right, so.